everyone. Welcome to Edufy. This is part two of a multi-part conversation on modules. In the previous episode, Meta Kuntop and I delved into a bit of semantics and explored the definition of a module, and hopefully found a shared understanding of the term and all its implications. In part two, Meta and I continue our conversation and shifted our focus to the use of ePresentation storyline modules, their usage, strengths, and overall considerations. If you haven't listened to part one, you might want to stop this now and circle back and give it a whirl. Otherwise, enjoy. Talk a little bit about, since there is so much emphasis, when is it appropriate to use it? It's not like e-presentations are always not the right pedagogical choice. Since there are a variety of modules, and this could go back to the car analogy in a way, like, you know, which vehicle do I need? You know, you're going to pick it based on what you need in your life. If you have a large family, you're going to be hauling a lot of stuff. Maybe you need the SUV, and then what's your problem over here? If you're someone who's always buying giant things, you're going to want a truck. If you just need to get back and forth to work, you're going to buy yourself a little sedan, right? So rather than just always buying the SUV when you don't need it, what do you need? What problem are you trying to solve? What makes sense pedagogically? And storyline or e-presentations are powerful tools when leveraged well to their strengths. And I think that's important because when they're leveraged incorrectly, they can even be detrimental, not just bad for education, but detrimental to learning. Mm-hmm. What would be a good example of using storyline?
I think using a storyline module when you have a small amount of content that you want to present possibly in a more interactive method. As you mentioned earlier,
interactive.
how do I say that? When you have a
see, because I would challenge you on the interactive piece, because there are a lot of ways to be interactive without using any presentation storyline style module. Clicking the next button and dragging and dropping is not necessarily an interaction that matters, has value.
Right. So I think finding, like, having interactions that matter. So you're absolutely right. Clicking the next button, being able to answer questions, just because the questions might look prettier in storyline than they might in Blackboard or in My Learning, those aren't reasons to necessarily just use that storyline module. Potentially there are questions that you want to ask where the LMS doesn't have that sort of level of functionality. Using branching logic, if you are creating sort of a choose your own adventure type scenario or question set, that's where a tool like Storyline has the ability to do something like that, present some of that immediate feedback while still moving down that questioning path. I think that's a really good use of storyline. Mm-hmm. But you have to determine, is that a necessity of this content and content presentation?
Mm-hmm. See, and I agree with you. And I also think when e-presentation storyline modules are used or leveraged to deliver design that are about simulations, highly interactive case scenarios, not just simple drag and drops, not a video wrapped in there, but where you need a higher level of programming functioning to get to your goal, that's where the power of these rapid authoring software is really something that you want to leverage, because the cost here, when I say cost, I don't necessarily mean money, but I mean time, resources, and burden also.
Absolutely.
Of using this type of software for your education is quite high. So you want to make sure the yield you're getting from it is worth it. Because if you are producing a piece of education where you would like to just maybe have text, maybe some narration, maybe a video, and that's just teaching at the person, and every once in a while there's a question that they're answering or a drag and drop or something, or they're watching a video in the middle of it, that is not a good case for using the software. The limitations that these softwares place on students are profound, in that they can't edit the material. They can't copy paste the material. They have no control over the material.
I love the point that you bring up about it being passive, because it is. Even if you have those, you know, click next or drag and drop type options, it is still that very passive type of learning, you know. And I think if we look at this from an adult education perspective, adults don't want to be locked down.
When we talk about the newer generation of students, have a different relationship with media, not as a passive viewer.
Right.
People are content creators now. So an e-presentation module robs them of that opportunity to be a content creator.
You know, you brought up those great points. They want to interact with the content as they want to. If they have a video and they start going through the video and they say, I know this, they want to be able to skip it, or they want to be able to go back. They don't want to be locked into this super linear format for their education. They want the ability to jump and move through the content sort of as they envision.
We do see this in action where people want to take that media, create their own study guides. It aids in teach back and peer teaching, whereas a storyline locks you out of that.
Now there is a little, you know, sometimes you have to learn how to crawl before you walk, you know, or walk before you run. You know, sometimes there are reasons for locking down some content or creating some order and structure. But I think if we look at the learner and how our learners are changing, you know, and this plays into so many areas. Typically, a lot of our younger learners, you brought up a really good point of wanting to remix and take the content and, you know, and pull out pieces and build their own study guides and use that. And that's super important. Whereas, you know, we might also, you know, we have such a broad range of learners. There may be those people who want everything in a very structured and linear format.
Well, but that you bring up a good point, though. I mean, you said that there are sometimes reasons to have well organized. It should always be well organized.
Oh, and yes.
And I think there's a misnomer that using that means you're creative, and that having that's the creative solution is to go to the software, that it somehow is a tool of creativity. But actually, I think it can limit your creativity.
And I mean, to go back to that organization piece, yes, the content should always be organized. But I think our contemporary learners want the ability to go back. They want to fast forward. They want to rewind. They want to watch videos at double speed. We see that.
Yeah, and that's quite a bit. Misnomer of self-paced. Self-paced can look so many ways. If you have a, you know, I'm going to use a web presence of an organized layout of material, that is self-paced, and that students or learners can access whichever piece they want, close them down, jump around. They can follow the recommended path, or they can, you know, do what they want and go back and restudy. But if you were locking them into a e-presentation, it's not so easy to jump around. So you actually limit the power of the learner to personalize their learning experience.
When you go into a storyline type module, if you go in and let's say you've taken several classes in this space, but you can't move on in your education until you do this storyline module, is it a waste of time? If you already know the information that's there, you're spending this time clicking through just to say, I've done this. You know, is that the best use of our learners' time? No, not at all. If they know it and they feel comfortable and confident about it, they should be able to skip these items or to move through them more quickly. And when they're wrapped in that e-presentation type wrapper, it limits that.
Yeah, and I think that when we go back to, like, if we're talking about a blended learning strategy as opposed to just an entirely online learning strategy, I think about, do these totally packaged pieces of material like an e-learning presentation / storyline, do they hinder the way that we creatively think about how to actually blend a course? Because they are so siloed, they pop up, right? They're siloed. Again, driving things into a wrapper makes it feel like it has a beginning and an end. And that's all she wrote. You know, when you finish it, the book is closed. But that's not how it should be with learning. It should continue. And if you want to foster deeper learning, you need to expand that. And I think not using the wrapper is really a powerful way, not make people feel like the book is closed on that topic. You know, like, so if you're just working through a variety of resources, some journal articles and a video, and you know, maybe you listen to a podcast on a topic. When you're done with that material, the book didn't close, you know. You should be then talking about it or expanding on it.
But I like that notion of continuing the education. And it doesn't mean that we couldn't use one of those wrapped items as a smaller piece within a module.
Well, and then when you think about it, when we move away from like traditional classrooms and we start talking about like education that goes out to a workforce or a large body of learners that aren't necessarily traditional students, or maybe there isn't a classroom, I still think that we know from, you know, our best pedagogical best practices that you want to connect that with community. So ending that education with just whatever package you've created in whatever way is not always the best solution. It's not ever the best solution. We know that. Like, you should always have some kind of follow-up. So I think this extends even beyond where there's a classroom, whether or not that be you include a contact for someone from a department that people can follow up with, or there's a plan in place to continue it into, you know, a staff development meeting or a staff meeting where you're talking to people about it, or a Yammer group or some kind of community. And that, you know, again, goes with that open and closed kind of thing. And we talked and spent a lot of time with us talking about why, when e-presentations are not ideal, but I'd love for us to start throwing out some ideas about, well, what can a module contain? What does a good module look like? We have the amazing resource of Kaltura video, and a lot of people don't know about it, and it's so powerful. And with Kaltura, you know, that sort of level of, I think we can find that a lot of that minimalist level of interaction that people like crave, that they sometimes seek e-presentations out for, which is just sort of knowledge checks, questions in the middle. That through Kaltura, we have interactive video options that are super easy to learn how to do, to edit on the fly, to maintain. So you can make a video.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think in those for those videos, that's the other thing that we need to, keep in mind for a component of a module or some type of e-presentation or storyline modules is that, and I mean, as an adult learner, looking at the attention span of our learners, a 90-minute video or, even, 30-minute videos or modules, if we can break those down, the more condensed and impactful they are, the better.
And there you have it, part two. I want to thank Meta again for stopping by to share her knowledge and chat with Edufy. What do you think about all these options? Let us know by sending us a comment. Thanks for tuning in, and keep an eye out for the next episode.